constructive interaction with the world, a policy of moderation, dynamic negotiations, and healing old wounds. These are some of the key words Iran's president-elect Hassan Rouhani used in his first address to reporters after his election. Sanctions, Rouhani says, can be removed while Iran continues its uranium enrichment program. The only side benefiting from the repressive tactics, he says, is Israel. I'm Homa Lezgi, and you're watching The Debate.
Iran's president-elect describes sanctions imposed on the country as cruel. Hassan Rouhani says his government of prudence and hope has solutions for the sanctions to be removed.
اولیش قدم گذاشتن در مسیر شفافیت بیشتره. البته برنامه‌های هسته‌ای ما کاملا شفاف هست. ثانیاً اعتماد متقابل بین ایران و سایر کشورها رو ما ارتقا خواهیم داد.
Rouhani described resorting to sanctions as a reactionary tool whose era has come to an end. He says sanctions and threats are illogical in essence because they're damaging to the West as well. Rouhani stressed that Tehran will not suspend uranium enrichment and that there are many other ways for confidence building to go forward in future negotiations. He reiterated that there is a fresh opportunity for interaction with the world thanks to the chance provided by the Iranian people through their participation in elections. Rouhani expressed hope that the whole world would grab the opportunity.
قطعاً تعامل با جمهوری اسلامی ایران و با دولت آینده نه تنها به نفع کشور ایران خواهد بود که به نفع منطقه و جهان نیز خواهد بود.
The Iranian president-elect says his new government will have very close relations with all Iran's neighbors, based on mutual respect and interests. He says the groundwork for political, economic, and social cooperation with Iran's Arab neighbors, and especially Saudi Arabia, is paved. On the possibility of any direct talks with the U.S., Rouhani says negotiations should be based on mutual respect and on equal footing. He also listed three conditions for direct talks with the U.S.
اولا اینکه آمریکایی‌ها همونطور که در بیانیه الجزایر قید شده باید تصریح کنند در امور داخلی ایران هرگز مداخله نخواهند کرد. ثانیاً تمام حقوق حقه ملت ایران و از جمله حقوق هسته‌ای رو به رسمیت بشناسند و ثالثاً سیاست‌های یک جانب گرایی رو و یا زورمداران رو نسبت به ایران کنار بگذارند.
The U.S. government under George W. Bush called Iran's previous reformist government, led by President Mohammad Khatami, as part of the axis of evil. It remains to be seen if Washington is willing to meet the conditions Rouhani set and engages in sincere talks with Tehran on the basis of mutual respect.
You're watching The Debate. Let me introduce our guest to you. Live here in Tehran with us is Mr. Professor Kazem Sajjadpour. He is with the Iranian Foreign Ministry's School of International Relations. I'd also like to welcome a guest in New York, journalist Maxine Dover. Thank you very much for being with us. I'll start my first question with Maxine Dover. Now, Ms. Dover, we'll start first the discussion with the over 70% voter turnout that we saw in Iran's election. Is this huge public participation, do you think, already changing the way that the U.S. and the West in general are going to deal with Iran?
Well, I think it may change the way the policymakers of Iran are going to deal with the people as well. From the expectations that were voiced, it seemed that Mr. Rouhani was not expected to pull the plurality that he did to engender a 70% vote, but he did. And he is acknowledged to be the most moderate of those candidates who were selected, allowed to run. In addition, the Green movement seems to have thrown its weight behind his election rather than creating a protest to the elections in general.
Well, let's bring in Mr. Sajjadpour on this as well. Mr. Sajjadpour, first of all, do you think they were taken off guard, both because of the public participation that we saw and also Mr. Rouhani coming out of the ballot boxes just before the elections? The US and others were speaking about their concerns over the fairness, for instance, of the polls or the democratic process in Iran. How do you think they'll respond now?
That's a very, very good question. I think in the U.S. we usually see a type of fixated and reductionist approach toward Iran. Everything is fixated in their cognitive mapping of how Iran is. And I think in this same fashion they looked at Iran, first they talked about a type of social engineering, engineering of election, that the candidate who is going to come out of the ballot boxes is clear, it's designed, engineered, and so on and so forth. And nobody in the U.S., as I follow every day, the analysis there, both on the governmental and think tank levels, predicted such type of dynamism in Iranian society and polity during the, especially the last 2 days before the election. So I think because of the reductionist approach, because of the fixated notions, and because of a type of picture they have in mind, they really miss the dynamism of Iranian polity and society.
But does that mean they're going to change that policy now?
What?
Does that mean that they're going to change that policy now, do you think?
I think we feel there is a shock. The shock is not that to that degree that really breaks their mentality, but they are absorbing the shock. And if you look at the pronouncements by the officials, you see they have noticed there is a change, there is a dynamism in Iranian society, and I think obvious it's there. But still, since there is a fixated notion there, it's difficult for them, and they try to explain the election with a type of pre-assumption paradigm.
Okay, I'll come back again to expand on what you just said there, but let's go back to Ms. Dover on this as well. Ms. Dover, we have seen a series of messages from various countries congratulating Mr. Rouhani. What do you think they indicate? I mean, does the world believe there will be, for instance, drastic changes in Iran's foreign policy? And I'd like to bring in a quote here by William Hague, the UK Foreign Secretary. He said, the quote, the government in the UK hopes that following Dr. Rouhani's election, the Iranian government will take up the opportunity of a new relationship with the international community.
I applaud the comment, and I certainly hope that that will be the case. I think Mr. Rouhani, in speaking of respect for the neighbors of Iran, may be opening a very important window, perhaps even an important door, where there is a lack of fear of threat, where the sort of threats that were made in the previous administration are eliminated, where in fact the actions towards creating a neighborhood in the Middle East, a neighborhood that respects all of the neighbors of the Middle East, are taken, that will open the international community's ability to work with Iran, to create the kind of cooperation that was exhibited, for example, when the earthquake happened and Mr. Rouhani accepted the creation of an American field hospital to help the victims, and in fact came to that hospital to show his respect for the doctors doing the humanitarian work there. And if that is the kind of policy that is followed in more than emergencies, as a policy, as an international approach to politics between Iran and the other nations of the world, I think we are on a far better course.
Well, let's just refer specifically now to the Iran-US ties. As Mr. Rouhani said, I'll put this question to Mr. Sajjadpour first. Now, Professor Sajjadpour, Mr. Rouhani said it is a complicated issue. He said the US needs to respect the Algiers Accord, which asks the US not to interfere politically or militarily in Iran, as well as to remove a freeze on Iranian assets and trade sanctions. But is the US willing to find that solution that Mr. Rouhani said is meant to heal this old wound?
I think in the US we are not dealing with a type of unanimous unified position. In the United States we have of course people who think that they should have a better relationship with Iran, don't intervene in the domestic affairs of Iran, have a stable, respectful relationship with this nation. We have also people who try very obviously, very clearly, not just to not achieve any type of rapprochement, but to radicalize the relationship, to militarize the relationship. So I think what's happening right now in the US, you have at least two camps. One camp is somehow trying to think of repairing the relationship, but still there is another camp which thinks that nothing less than the change in the Iranian political system is satisfactory to the United States. The election of Dr. Rouhani, yes, I think clearly on the Iranian side is sending clear message that we are for a respectful relationship, at least not to increase the tensions. This is what he said today, that
well,
we don't want to...
I'll jump in there, if I may, to bring in a quote here, and I'd like to have your opinion about this quote. This is the White House Chief of Staff, Dennis McDonough, speaking. He said, if Mr. Rouhani lives up to his obligations under the UN Security Council resolutions to come clean on the nuclear program, these are his words, he will find a partner in us. How do you interpret that message?
It's a mixed statement. On the one hand, I think it's putting a type of condition which is very impossible to achieve. That means the implementation of the UN sanctions by Iran, which is contradictory to its rights and claims. But in it also there is some element that if the nuclear issue is somehow managed, then the US is ready. And I think in this context, what Mr. Rouhani said today, that we are ready for transparency. And what he suggested, according to some experts, is the maximum transparency that Iran may really think. And I think this signal of transparency, if well taken in Washington, then the road is going to be paved for reducing the tension and maybe building a better situation. I don't mean relationship because it's beyond possibility at this juncture, but yes, I think at least we can have a framework for a better situation.
Okay.
But if these conditions that, you know, is impossible, is set from the beginning, it means they really are not going to change their policies, and even their pronouncements, though the wording may differ a little bit with the past.
Okay, now before I go to New York and the next question, I'd just like to give our viewers a little time here to look at one of the comments that's been posted on our Facebook page about this issue, and I'll be back with the next question.
He sounds well-balanced. He's also correct. The US should recognize Iran's nuclear rights, especially when transparency is offered on such a program.
Well, that comment posted by one of our viewers on our Facebook page, and comments rather similar to that have been voiced a lot by a lot of people, both here in Iran or outside Iran. And this next question to Ms. Dover in New York. Mr. Rouhani said, Ms. Dover, in his talks today, that it's been the United States that's been hampering an agreement. He even had a quote saying, we came to an agreement over the nuclear issue with the former French President Jacques Chirac, and even the Germans agreed to it. But the UK, under pressure from the US, rejected it. So there are people who are saying the US actually doesn't want to get this nuclear issue resolved because its issue with Iran is not actually about the nuclear program. It's about Iran's stance in the entire region.
That is a multifaceted question, if ever I heard one. I could not expect that the United States would want anything more than to have a peaceful approach to maintaining a peaceful and productive attitude and approach and action in the entire region. An approach that would be respectful, to go back to Mr. Rouhani's words,
yes,
of all of the neighbors, of both Arab and Israeli neighbors, and would allow the growth that new technology, that new resources would give to people to better their lives and to make better use of resources than war.
So what do you think about the conditions that Mr. Rouhani set there? Do you think that it's too much to ask for Iran's nuclear rights to be recognized? He says to commit to a policy of non-interference in Iran's affairs. Is that too much, do you think, to ask for?
To commit to a policy of non-interference in the domestic affairs of Iran, I think, is something the United States would have no difficulty acceding to. That is not of interest to the United States. What goes on domestically goes on domestically. I think the people of Iran have made a rather strong statement that they, as a people, want a more moderate position, a more open position within the international community. With those issues that would affect the politics and the policies, yes, that Iran holds vis-a-vis the international community, starting with the Mideast region and continuing throughout the international community, that's something that is of international interest, yes, and of interest to the United States. And those issues, if they are given full transparency, have a very new beginning.
So, Mr. Sayed-Ertepur, if we believe that the United States is actually committed to a peaceful resolution of this situation and is not interested in interfering in Iran's domestic affairs, what is standing in the way of trust being built between Iran and the U.S. or Iran and the West?
I think, first of all, I don't think that the U.S. is committed to non-intervention in Iranian domestic affairs. If you go through the records, to the files, and to the actions of all consecutive American presidents, they have meddled in the Iranian domestic affairs, including President Obama. There is a very good book written by a very distinguished American reporter, Obama's Secrets War, and actually it's a distinguished reporter of Washington Post arguing that through secret operations, during especially his first term, President Obama tried really to damage Iran, not just in the nuclear issue, in all other dimensions. So I think it's not easy for United States to, on a real term, to intervene because of the domestic politics in United States, where you have competing interests, and when you have third parties intervening in this relationship. Clearly, the Israeli lobby in the United States doesn't want any rapprochement between Iran and the United States, and I'm not saying so. This is reflected in a very good book by two American political scientists, Mishimer and Waltz. They argue that this policy is against the interests of the United States. So I think the U.S. Is not really committed to non-intervention in Iran. Even, I think, in recent years, they are not ready to verbally say so. Hmm. You don't see any verbal statement by the American presidents that we are not going to intervene. And intervention, especially in the political side, has a broad meaning. So the assumption which is based here is really questionable.
I'll stop you there, if I may, Mr. Sajjadpour, because we are short of time. I'd like to get to the response from our guest in New York on what you said as well. I'll be back with you. Now, Mr. Ver, what do you think about what was just said there? Our guest here believing that actually we can't say the U.S. Is not interested in interfering because of all the issues that we can refer to earlier on. We've got the issue of secret operations in Iran. We've got you know, the reports that are out there. And then with Mr. Rouhani specifically saying here that the only side that's benefiting from this severed ties between Iran and the West and the sanctions is Israel, because even the West is being hurt by these sanctions. So do you think that the United States is falling victim to the Israeli lobby?
Absolutely not. I think that the idea that Israel was benefiting from the threat of a Holocaust from the previous Iranian administration is foolish. If one goes back to a very short period of history before the revolution, Israel and Iran had very strong relations. They had very powerfully close relations that benefited both countries. I cannot imagine that any thinking person would not want to have a positive relationship reestablished. Obviously, it will be different. It's 30 years and 40 years later, and it's a lot of politics and threats under those bridges that need to be built. But I cannot expect that anyone would be opposed to building those bridges. And with regard to the professor's statement that the United States was meddling in Iranian policy, I think the target always has been to keep an eye on what is what had not been transparent.
Yes.
If that transparency is in fact established. After all, Dr. Rouhani holds a degree from Glasgow University and is known as the diplomatic cleric. He is a man who understands the need to evaluate modern situations within the framework of Sharia law.
Yeah, let's allow Mr. Sajjadpour to give his response. I believe he wants to give a response there. Go ahead, Mr. Sajjadpour.
I would disagree with your American guest here because, look, during the last couple of days, the only negative statement about Iranian election and its outcome is coming from Mr. Netanyahu. And he is advising the United States and the other Western countries that don't really think it is a democratic and it is a type of participatory process and it is a system which just should be dealt with a military force. He mentions even names the year and the evolution of this military threat. So when you see it is the only country and the only, let's say, the only factor negatively talking about the Iranian recent election and advising the American president not to really be excited about this election. And on the other hand, we have a record of U.S. Trying to solve even the Palestinian issue. Don't forget what President Obama was doing in the beginning of his first term to somehow go for two-state solution in the Arab-Israeli conflict. But it was Israeli politics which prevented him, and now he's not doing anything. I'm not saying that the American president is following whatever Tel Aviv is telling him. Obviously, he rejected Tel Aviv's pronouncements or policy line during, especially in his presidential campaign and debate, and I mean the recent one. But still, there is pressure by the Congress, by the Jewish lobby. If anybody says there is no Israeli lobby at all in the United States, either he is one of the member of this Israeli lobby or even ignores the American literature he's publishing there, even by some of the Jewish American scholars who are fair enough to see how the situation is going on there.
Okay,
so,
thank you very much.
Just one point.
Quickly, if you can.
I think I'm not going to say everything is going to be like before and the Obama administration is going to follow whatever Netanyahu is saying. I think the American administration understands the evolution of Iranian power politics, but in the meantime, I am expecting some challenges, impediments, and I hope A broader perspective is emerging in the United States, okay, in which not just one single factor is there.
I'm afraid I've got to end it here because we have run out of time. A big thank you to our guest there in Tehran, Professor Kazem Sajjadpour with the School of International Relations of Iran's Foreign Ministry there, and journalist Maxine Dovera in New York. Thank you very much for being on another edition of The Debate with me, Homa Lezgi. Until our next program, it's goodbye.